Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we take a look at this subject, Lord, a very biblical subject, you have much to say about this, that you'll help us, Lord, to properly define and diagnose what backsliding is, and Lord, that this message would be a warning and a barrier, dear God, between us and the possibility of entering into a backslidden condition. Lord, help us to be, Lord, not so haughty as to think that we couldn't, while everyone else is climbing the mountains this year, while everyone else is heading to higher ground. Lord, what a tragedy if one or two or three members of our congregation went the other way. And Lord, at the end of 2015, ended up being this backslider in heart. And so, Lord, I pray that we would properly, with the help of your Holy Spirit, please diagnose each of our individual lives, Lord. And I pray, dear God, our focus would be on our own heart, dear God, and a thorough examination of self, Lord, to make sure that we have not begun a process that will end in tragedy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last May, I went over and preached for Brother Kemp at the Olive Branch Baptist Church on their preaching conference. And the night that I preached right before Bob Hamlin. And I preached a message entitled, "The Collateral Damage of Backsliding." It's a message that I preached here probably 6, 7, 8 years ago. The collateral damage of backsliding. Two events happened after that message. First of all, Brother Hamlin came to me and said, "Preacher, we're not preaching enough on that subject. Thank you for hitting that tonight." He said, "While you were sitting there preaching, God smote my heart." He said, "Evangelists used to preach on backsliding in almost every meeting. I've gotten away from it." He said, "Let me take your outline. I'll probably borrow it and preach it." And I said, I'll pass on a thank you to the person that I borrowed it from. I said, "That's fine." But I was so impressed by how intense he was and sincere he was in what God had done with his heart. I started to walk away from him, got about halfway down the aisle, and Brother Don Mowry, one of our deacons, happened to be there that night, and he came over to me and said, "Preacher, it's been a while. We need to hear a sermon on backsliding at Blessed Hope Baptist Church." And so two men right in a row came to me, and it struck a chord in their lives. Of course, if you think of Don Mowry and Bob Hamlin, I mean, surely if there's two guys that ought to be hit pretty hard with a sermon on backsliding, it would be those two. But two men that's lived their lives and seen a lot, one is a layman and one is a preacher, felt impressed of God to come to this preacher and exhort him and urge him in this matter. And so I made a little mental note to myself, and the Lord hadn't led me that direction, but as I was praying this week about what to preach, those conversations came back to mind, and I began to think, you know what, it's been a while since I've gone up and preached on the subject of backsliding, and so tonight, please, with your prayers, I'm going to preach a new message on backsliding, one I have never preached before, entitled "The 5 C's of Backsliding." In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, first of all, we see the conception of backsliding. Where, preacher, is backsliding conceived? The Bible says this, the backslider, what's the next two words? In heart. Don't miss this. Backsliding first begins in the heart of a Christian. That's why it's one of those things that's really hard to see and to diagnose in its early stages, because somebody can be doing everything that they were doing before. Somebody could be faithful to the church services. From the outward appearance, maybe nobody knows that the process of backsliding has started in that person's heart. Because, folks, backsliding, first of all, starts in the heart. What is a good Bible definition of backsliding? Backsliding is the shifting, watch this, the shifting of a Christian's heart, their love, their affection from God to the world. From God to the world. See, backsliding is a matter of the heart. By the way, I want to just take a minute and please listen to me. I want to give you God's viewpoint on backsliding and the seriousness of what I'm talking about. Jeremiah 3:6, when God speaks of the subject of backsliding, listen to what he says about Israel. "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done. Now listen to me, folks. This is severe, but I want you to notice and pay attention to the wordage here. She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Now watch this, folks. You know what? I can love God, and God can love me back. But I can love God, and then I can go to God and say, God, I do love you supremely. We're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart. He's number one, first and great commandment. I can say, God, I love you, but is it all right with you if I also love my wife? And he would say, and God would say, well, absolutely. Matter of fact, if you'll love me supremely, you will know more and be better prepared to be a good husband, to properly love your wife. I say, well, that's good, Lord. Lord, I want to love you, but can I also love my children? Oh, my goodness sakes. And of course, I want you to love your children. And see, God's not stingy with love. He doesn't demand that we only love him. Lord, I love you, but can I also love, dear Lord, please, can I also love lost souls? Oh, my goodness sakes. Listen, if you're going to be like me, you have to love lost souls. Lord, I love you. Can I love my church family? He said, yes. But you know what? If I go to God and say, God, I love you, can I also love the world? The Bible answer is emphatic about that. Emphatic. Let me read the verses to you. James 4:4. And again, preacher, God said Israel was playing the harlot. Why? Because they had left their love of God and had shifted their hearts' affections to the world. James 4:4. Listen, ye adulterers and adulteresses, there it is. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. God, I love you. Can I love you? Thank you for letting me love my wife. Thank you for letting me love my children. Thank you for letting me love my church family. Thank you for letting me love the lost. Lord, can I love you and love the world? He says, no. Listen, watch this. I will view that as an act of spiritual adultery. That's what he said. Folks, Jerry Ross didn't write these verses. I want you to understand what happens in the heart of a backslider. 1 John chapter 2, let's go there. I want you to see it. 1 John chapter number 2, save your place in Proverbs. We're going to come back there at least one time. 1 John chapter number 2, go ahead, let the Bible pages rattle. That's good. If your children are sitting there staring off, say, hey, turn into scriptures. Let me train you to do the right thing at the right time. By the way, watch mom and dad do it so that you can learn that we're supposed to turn in our Bibles. Amen. I'm looking down here to give you a chance to get right with God. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, verse number 16. By the way, when I say things like that, I am kind of serious. Okay, does your children watch you? And they do. When they watch you do what the preacher say, or they just watch you set in defiance of everything the preacher says, don't come to me later on wanting me to rescue them when they're 16 when they won't listen to the preacher, because you're training them not to listen to the preacher, all right? 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Look at this, folks. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, please, church, listen to me. Backsliding first begins in the heart of a Christian. All of a sudden, this love and affection that we were to supremely and first of all give to God begins to shift towards the world. And backsliding always starts in the heart. Watch this, folks. It is backsliding, not backfalling. And so it happens in inches. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen just one glorious day. It happens. You may see a fall. You may see a Christian fall. But I promise you, long before they fell, they were sliding away from God into worldliness. Now stay with me, folks. Watch this. That's why it's very, very important, because it is sliding. That's why it's very, very important to deal with the little things that the Holy Spirit convicts you about. Well, that's not that big of a deal. I don't really think that warrants a trip to the altar. I don't think that really warrants a change of lifestyle. And so it's only moving me this far. But the problem is, next week there's going to be something else. And next week there's going to be something else. And next week there's going to be something else. And a month later there's going to be something else. And if you won't deal with the small things, pretty soon you'll slide away down into a backslidden condition. So first of all, we see the conception of backsliding. Where does it start? It starts in the heart. Look right up here. I'm going to ask you a very fair question, a biblical question, a question that's right for a preacher to ask at this point in a message like this. Are you backsliding in your heart? Are you backsliding in your heart? We see the conception of backsliding. Flip back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 14 again. The cause of backsliding. It's conceived in the heart. What is the cause of it, preacher? Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart. What's the rest of the phrase say there? What's the rest of that part of the verse say? Shall be filled with his own ways. Own ways. What is the cause of backsliding, preacher? The cause of backsliding is selfishness. Selfishness. Now listen to what I'm going to say here. I believe backsliding may very well be the single most selfish thing a Christian can do. The decision to backslide is a decision to worship self. It is an act of idolatry where the new God a person bows down to is his own carnal lust and appetites. It considers only one question. Backsliding considers only one question. How can I be happy now? Now, not where will I be down the road, not how will this affect those around me, not how will this affect the cause of Christ, not what does a holy God think of what I'm about to do. No, just one thing is considered: self. Selfish desires, selfish pleasures, selfish lusts, selfish ambitions. I want to do what I want to do. And a backslider cares nothing about anyone but himself. How do you know that? Because the Bible says he will be filled with his own ways. Now I want you to think about that verse. I'm going to read you another verse. He'll be filled with his own ways. What about Psalms 128:1? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. In his ways. As a Christian, guess what? You're not supposed to be, girls, I don't want any more laughing back there and goofing around. It's one of the reasons I don't like young people sitting back towards the back. It's no more goofing around, no more laughing. You need to listen, all right? You probably need this. Everything I'm saying, you probably need right now. Now listen to me. Watch this. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Listen, you were not saved and you were not created to do what you want to do and to go where you want to go and to be what you want to be. You were created by your Creator for one purpose, and that was to find his will and walk in his ways for the rest of your life. Now that means you're going to have to die to self. You see, living for the Lord is a selfless life, but backsliding is a selfish life. And you know what? The Christian life, I want to say this over and over, one of those sayings I'm going to keep repeating, the Christian life properly lived is a life of sacrifice. It's a life of sacrifice. We're going to talk about climbing the mountain. One of the mountains we're going to talk about is the mountain of ultimate sacrifice. And you know what? Every one of us is going to have to face some things sooner or later. Every single one of us is going to have to realize that God is going to ask for the thing that's most precious to us. He came to Abraham and he said, I want you to bring your son, your only son, Isaac. I want you to take him on the mountain to sacrifice him. And you know what? God right there was going to find out whether or not he could trust Abraham for everything else that he was going to allow him to do in this life. That he was going to trust Abraham. Now listen to me. What I'm saying is this. Watch this. You know what? This whole idea of being filled with your own ways is a sign of backsliding. But parents, watch for this. Watch it in your children young. Watch it in your children young. For every ounce of rebellion you get out of a toddler, you're going to save yourself a ton of rebellion in their teenage years. It doesn't take children very long to begin to become stubborn. Watch this, and selfish. One of the biggest challenges in a family is to weed out and to get out of the hearts of your young people a spirit of selfishness. Watch your children. Say, preacher, it's not in my children. Sure it is. My goodness sake, sure it is. It's in all of us. It's in all of us. If you don't think it is, look at your four kids and say, I have three pieces of candy and see what happens, all right? I'm sure one of them's going to say, oh, Father, please, I would gladly sacrifice the piece of candy that I could have so that my brothers and sisters could enjoy that. No, they're not. You know what they're going to do? They're going to rush over and grab something. Did I tell you the story? I think I mentioned this, that the story that was told about Abraham Lincoln. And the next door neighbor of Abraham Lincoln told this story when he was living in Springfield, and he heard a commotion and two boys crying. And so he walked out of his house, and there's Abraham Lincoln, the front step of his house, and he's got two boys in there crying, just wailing. And he looked over and said, "What's the problem, Mr. Lincoln, with your boys?" And he said, "That's the problem of all humanity." He said, I have three walnuts and two boys. And he said, "That's what's the problem with all humanity right there. Three walnuts and two boys." Why? Because both of them couldn't be satisfied with one. They didn't see what they had in their hand. They had to fight over the one they didn't have. We're all selfish in nature. Oh my goodness sake, selfishness is like a cancer. If you're not careful, it starts getting into the church. And I'm going to tell you something, my job is to preach it out of the church. I'm going to do my best to do that. It comes into a family. It comes into your heart. And if you're not careful, what you want, what you want to do is more important than the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us. We see the conception of backsliding, the cause of backsliding. Let me just warn you, I won't spend a lot of time on this. The contagiousness of backsliding. John chapter 21, you know the story. Peter says, "I go a-fishing." He's leaving the will of God. They say, who are they? Well, they're identified in chapter 21, verse 2 of John. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan and Galilee and the sons of Zebedee. That's James and John. Good night. Three of them that are about to backslide were the inner circle that Jesus took to the Mount Transfiguration. And they saw him in his glory. So don't tell me that you've reached a spiritual plane where you cannot and might not backslide. You better watch out for it. That's who they are. Peter said unto him, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." You know what? Backsliding is contagious. It's contagious. I have had this conversation with several people in the last month because of the severity of the flu symptoms. I go to the nursing home to visit. You know what? They have plastered on all the doors signs saying, if you're under 18, you don't come in here. If you have any flu symptoms, do not come in here. You go to visit the hospital. I've made several visits to hospital. Every hospital, signs plastered all over the place. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because the flu bug, this strain of flu bug that is crippling people and killing people in the state of Indiana is highly contagious. Somebody at church will come. Me and Brother Tom had this. He ended up and his wife missing several services, and it's not like them. And he came and he said, "Preacher, we hated it, but we were just so worried that we would infect someone else." You know what I said? "Thank you for staying home." Now, you don't hear a preacher say that very often. I said, "Thank you for staying home." I've had other people come to me and, "Preacher, you know what? It took a while to get over this. And I thought I was pretty much over it. I might have been able to come, but I was still running a slight fever." No, stay home. You know why? Folks, come on, let me just poll the parents here. If you've got kids and you're putting them in the nursery, are you excited if a mother shows up at the nursery door and says, "Hey, by the way, there's some aspirin in the diaper thing because they've been running 102 fever, but I got it down to 101, and they're coughing and they got croup. But by the way, here you go. Make sure that they play with the other kids." You know, would any mother not have red flags and alarm bells go off in your mind about that situation? Look right up here. You better pay attention to what I have to say. Backsliding is more contagious than the flu. It's more contagious than the measles. I mean, it's one of the most contagious problems in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, parents. If you've got enough sense not to set your kid down beside somebody that's running 104 fever with a severe case of the flu, then maybe you ought to have enough sense not to pair your children up with backsliders. Don't pair them up with backsliders. All right? Well, you don't understand. They're going to reach out and be a spiritual blessing, a spiritual help to them. Let me ask you this. Come on. You got any sense? Let me ask you, since you've tried that experiment, are they getting better? Are they doing better? Nowhere you'll find that in the Bible. The Bible says that if a man be overtaken in a fault, watch this, listen to me. Do we just give up on people? No. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are? None of your children are spiritual enough to be in the business of reclaiming backsliders. None of your children are spiritual enough to be in the business of reclaiming backsliders. None of your children have the life experience, Bible knowledge, and good common sense to be in the business of reclaiming backsliders. None of them. None of them. Okay? You say, let's finish the verse. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thy, lest thou also be tempted. So there's a danger. Is that what the Bible's saying here? There's a danger. It should. This is the type of thing. Oh, somebody gets mad and leaves the church, and you're going to go minister to them. Really, you just want to go find out and get the gossip so you can spread it around. But you're going to go minister to them. And so you go minister to them, and the next thing I know, I see that your spirit starts changing. You didn't consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. You're not spiritual enough to be doing what you're doing. Look right up here. You're not spiritual enough. Okay, because you're not being restored. You're being dragged down. Next thing you know, I begin to see the visual signs. Come on, let me just say some things, because you know what? You need to see sometimes what I see. All right? Some of you make your preacher nervous from time to time. Don't do these things. All right? You know what? I notice, well, preacher, what are the classic signs of backsliding in church members? All of a sudden, unfaithfulness to church, hit and miss coming to church. Come on now. I know people have different work schedule situations, but I'm not talking about can't be here. I'm talking about just, you know, choose not to be here. You know what? A lot of times then what they do is all of a sudden I see them begin to backpedal away from responsibilities, and they come in and want to talk to me or catch me at the back door and give me a spiritual reason why they don't really think they can help anymore in this ministry or that ministry or this ministry. And so all of a sudden I see them detaching themselves from responsibilities. A lot of times I watch people physically backslide. Maybe they used to, and I understand in a church our size, that not everybody can sit in the first three rows. I get it. But you begin to see them physically begin to go backwards even in where they used to sit in church. Come on, I'm just being honest with you here. All right? What did you pray about it this week? And the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You are way too close to the preaching. I think what you need to do is move as far away as you can possibly. I mean, that came from the Holy Spirit of God, right? I mean, you just went, hallelujah, praise God. I saw a vision. I got a sign. I'm supposed to sit on the back row. Amen. No, I don't think that comes from God that you ought to be moving backwards. It's crazy. You go to any sporting event in the world, and the most expensive seats are the ones closest. That's the most desirable seats, the ones closest. Come to church, and you know what? People want to get as far away as they can. Come on now. Come on now. I'm helping you right now. You know what? What's wrong with just finding the seat that's as close as possible, especially if you got kids, you got children? It would help them. It would train them in some things. Now, the cause of backsliding, the contagiousness of backsliding, listen to me, church. You can say, just walk out here and you can accuse me of anything you want to accuse me. Being uncaring, I don't care. I don't do the right thing when kids start to backslide. You know what I do? I watch out for other kids to make sure they're not going to backslide with them. I want to help families that are backsliding, but I also want to protect other families that they're not influenced to backslide with them. That's being a good pastor. It doesn't mean that I'm unloving. What it means is that I don't want to see one person's bad decision end up being contaminating the hearts and the minds of other people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The contagiousness of backsliding. Number four, the consequences of backsliding. Oh my goodness sakes, this is a whole message in itself. The best place that we can go in the scriptures, and this is a whole message, so I'm just going to read the main points. The best place we can go to the scriptures, if you want to do a study of the consequences of backsliding, the collateral damage of backsliding, is in the life of Lot. What did it cost Lot, preacher? It cost Lot his children and his grandchildren. They became collateral damage of his decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Lot's wife became collateral damage. Marriages being destroyed because of backsliding. Backsliding. You think you're going to trot out of a good Bible preaching church and backslide and leave, and your marriage is going to be better a year from now? You better listen to what I'm saying. I'm begging you to listen to what I'm saying. It's not going to be better. It's not, well, if I don't leave here, my wife is going to leave me if I won't leave a good Bible preaching church. Let me tell you, you listen to me, I'm going to say it. She's going to leave you anyway. If you give in to that, you'll never give in to enough. She's going to leave you anyway. If you got to keep your wife happy to leave a good Bible preaching church, and you're going to have to go into a backslidden condition, and you think that's going to make your marriage and save your marriage, you come on. You say, preacher, what do I do? Come see me. I'll tell you what you ought to do. I'll counsel with you. I'll tell you what you ought to do. But you don't leave the will of God. Amen. Come on now. You don't leave the will of God. How did it work for Lot and his wife? She became collateral damage. He lost her anyway. Lot's testimony became collateral damage. Good night. You know, he went to talk to his own son-in-laws and try to convince them and his daughters that that judgment was coming. You know what? They laughed at him. They mocked him. He couldn't convince his own children. His testimony was worthless because of backsliding. Lot's morals became collateral damage. Boy, listen to what I'm saying here. What kind of a man has sodomites attacking the front door of their house, demanding the guest, and goes to the front door and says, "You can't have them, but I'll send out my two virgin daughters, and you can do with them what you want." What, how does anybody get there? I mean, there's some things I can kind of look at from a lot of different angles in the Bible, and at maybe from a certain angle I can kind of understand it. I can't find an angle where I understand that. There's no way I can wrap my mind around that. Say, how did he get to the point where he was willing to do something like that? Folks, listen to me. Please listen to me. You say, "Preacher, I'm going to backslide in these areas, but I'll tell you, there's some things I'll never do." You know what you'll find out? If you backslide, before long, you'll be doing things you thought you would never do. You'll be involved in sins you thought you'd never be involved in. And the fastest way to self-destruct in the area of morals is begin to backslide. Remember, folks, it starts in the heart. Starts in the heart. Lot's inner peace became collateral damage. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, you know what? That it vexed his righteous soul. The turning of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I'm going to just tell you, every once in a while somebody wants to use the example of Lot about, well, you know what, that person backslid in the world, but you know what, Lot backslid in the world and he was still saved, and so you can't just say that they're not saved. Watch this. He backslid into the world, but every day of his life that he lived there, it vexed his righteous soul. If you can go back, if you can leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church and go into a life of worldliness and go into a life of sin, and your soul isn't vexed, if you can walk in a bar and your soul's not vexed, if you can start going to the dances and your soul's not vexed, if you can sit there and watch in the movie house and on TV filthy things and your soul's not vexed, let me tell you something, you don't know the same Jesus I know, and you don't have the same Holy Spirit that I have. Even Lot, as backslidden as he was, the Bible gives testimony that it vexed his righteous soul. There's something about being born again that you don't get over some things. If you've been in a church and raised in a church like this, I'm going to tell you something, whether you know it or not, it's ruined you for some things forever, because you know the truth. And you can go out there and try to go hog wild and just slop around in the world and say, "I'm going to enjoy myself," but you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is going to constantly bring things that your parents have taught you and that you heard in Sunday school and that you heard from this pulpit. And if you're saved, and you know what? God will vex your soul. He'll take your peace. You can't be a child of God, live in the slop of this world, and have inner peace. What else was the consequences? Lot's material possessions became collateral damage. I watch people backslide over materialism. This was a materialistic decision on the part of Lot. You know what? His possessions grew and Abraham's possessions grew. And pretty soon there was conflict. And so Lot separated himself. Instead of separating himself from Abraham, he should have separated himself from some of his possessions. I don't know what it is in this world that you think is more important than the will of God, but nothing's more important than the will of God. And you know what? Everything that he went down to Lot, or to Sodom and Gomorrah, everything he went down there and accumulated financially, he watched the fire and brimstone burn up, and everything on this earth one of these days is going to burn with a fervent heat. It's going to melt away. Don't live for things, folks. Lot's city, and this is to me what's so one of the most terrible things. Lot's city became collateral damage. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. Preacher, is there anything in the world that could have prevented all of those people dying? Yes. Abraham had stood before God and negotiated with God not to destroy those cities for the sake of 10 righteous people. And you know what Lot's backsliding caused? It caused the destruction of two cities and all of the souls that maybe one day could have got the truth. They lost their last chance because of a backslidden Christian. Because of a backslidden Christian. My heart grieves when I stand up here. My heart grieves when I come to the pulpit when no one else is here and pray. And sometimes sit in the pew right there. And I think back, folks, I've been here 20 years working on staff. I grew up here as a young man. I spent a lot of years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And all through in my mind, I click away and see people that at one time sat here and were faithful. And I mean worked bus routes. Come on now. I don't mean visited for a couple months and decided to go somewhere. I'm talking about locked in. And you know what? They begin to backslide. And the cost of that backsliding begin to take its toll upon their life. And pretty soon, they're out of God's will and out of God's ways. And you know what? I sit and think to myself, what could happen? What could have God done with this ministry? The honest truth is, if people had not succumbed to backsliding, we would have had to build not one more auditorium, but added onto that auditorium and added onto that auditorium. But the devil's good at what he does. And they heard messages like you're hearing tonight. And they wouldn't deal with the backsliding that began in their heart. You say, preacher, that paints a pretty hopeless picture. I don't want to leave it that way. You see, there's a fifth C here. There's also the cure for backsliding. Aren't you glad that backsliding can be cured? Say, what is the cure? It's very simple. Jeremiah was given the message to take to backslidden Israel. Jeremiah 3, verse 12, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, here it is, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. There is a cure to backslide. Preacher, I've started backsliding. I've gotten my life involved in some things I shouldn't, and I've taken a road that's not right. Preacher, there's no hope. The devil's saying, well, you've come this far. You can't turn around now. He's a liar. Yes, you can. Say, what's the cure for backsliding? It's found in one word. Here it is, return. Say, preacher, where is God? He's exactly where you left him. He's exactly where you left him. There's a story that Jesus told about a young man. And you know what? He decided that he was going to leave his father's house and his father's will and under the tutelage of his father and go out. And he wasted his substance in riotous living. Demanded his inheritance early. And then the Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, and you know what? You can spend the rest of your life blaming everybody in the world. But listen to what I'm saying here. If you're backslidden, it's only one person's fault. Oh, no, it's my parents. No, it's not. Oh, it's the preacher. You can say whatever you want to. Oh, it's this family in the church or that family or somebody else had done something. Baloney! If you're backslidden, you made the decision to backslide. And you know what? Watch this. You're the only one that can cure it. How do you do it? You return. You come to yourself. You say, you know what? What did he do? He said, how many hired servants of the father have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father. It sounds like to me he's returning. And we'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. He came to himself. He takes personal responsibility. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He understands there may be a cost that comes with my backside. I'll pay whatever that is. But I got good news for you because the story that doesn't end there. He arose, came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to make merry. Say, preacher, what is the church's reaction going to be if I come forward and say before the church, I've been backsliding in heart, I've been backslid in actions, and I want to come back. Well, I think I've got enough faith in Blessed Hope Baptist Church to know that a good party is going to break out. Because you know what? That's what we do here. We help people. That's what we've always tried to do is help people. But you know what? You've got to be willing to return. You've got to be willing to stop playing the blame game. and pointing at everybody else. You got to take personal responsibility for your condition and your decisions. And when you come to God and are willing to do that, you're going to find that God is a merciful, merciful God. Just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord. The old song says, I've wandered far away from home. From God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, now I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open thou thy arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. There's not too many Christians in here, sad to say. They can't look at the space and time in their life. They said, preacher, maybe not physically, maybe I didn't leave the church, but Lord knows there was some times where I got backslidden in heart. And if it weren't but for the grace of God, where would I be? I pray, Lord, that you'll come alongside those tonight that are backslidden in heart and backslidden in life. And Lord, that you'd assure them, Lord, that the sweet Holy Spirit of God and the Father awaits with joy their return. Lord, I pray, dear God, they'd come back and they'd come back right. They'd come back and be sorry, and they'd come back and be repentant. They'd come back and start over. And Lord, in the years of my ministry, I've watched over and over and over again. You see them come from a ways off, and you run to meet them. And Lord, I know you're willing to meet them, dear God, but they've got to take the first step. So I pray, Lord, that you'd work in the hearts, dear God, of those here. It may be somebody that nobody in the world would have a clue that maybe just a little bit of backsliding in his heart is in their heart. Maybe somebody, the honest truth is, their body's here, but their heart's far away from God. Oh, Holy Spirit, please bring conviction. Bring them home. We pray these things in Jesus' name.